Christians who have made a difference.
This is a story of a man whose tears changed his thinking in a lot of areas and brought change, actually, to a whole nation. The man to whom I refer is a man by the name of Charles Grant. He lived from 1746 to 1823, and his life is relayed to us, or part of his life is relayed to us in a book by an Indian gentleman by the name of Vishal Mangalwadi. And Vishal Mangalwadi is a story in himself, but he has a passion for, not just for the gospel, but for the difference that the gospel has made in the nation of India. And Vishal Mangalwadi tells us that the Indian government education records begin with extensive quotations from Charles Grant. He arrived in Bengal in 1768 at the age of 22, just as the devastating famine of 1769 to 1770 killed millions. That famine motivated Grant to reform British administration to transform the Indian mind, agriculture, industry and economy. Those secular goals, acceptable to non-Christians, were inspired by Grant's biblical worldview. He saw education as a foundation for his goals because India's secular problems emanated from its religious worldviews. Transforming India's economic culture required transforming its religious presuppositions. Grant came to India as a secular, penniless young man to make money. He saw the corruption misrule that enriched some Englishmen but destroyed Bengal's economy. Within this corruption, Grant saw Richard Beckner, his Christian supervisor and boss and employer, feed up to, listen now, 7,000 people every day in Murshidabad, exerting, as Grant himself wrote, every nerve to alleviate the sufferings of the famine-stricken people. Later in Calcutta, a personal tragedy, the death of his two daughters, forced Grant to address the questions of life and eternity. He became a Christian and met two other men to study the Bible and pray. The Bible did not give them philosophical speculations or absentee, distant creator, but rather it revealed a God intimately involved in human history. Jesus' mission to inaugurate God's kingdom for the poor was radically different from Grant's and his company's mission to make money in India. Studying the Bible enabled Grant to make God's mission his own. God's word, as Grant concluded, required realigning the British mission with God's purposes for India. In September 17, 1787, Grant sent his famous appeal for missions to 14 public figures in Britain. There was little response, and it was not until 1790 that Grant returned to England, disappointed that his appeal for missions seemed to have gone unheeded, that he eventually found a friend in William Wilberforce, an evangelical and member of Parliament. Wilberforce had received Grant's appeal for India when he was sick. With his encouragement, Grant wrote his rationale for missions. It was called Observations on the State of Society Among the Asiatic Subjects of Great Britain, particularly with respect to morals and the means of improving it, written chiefly in the year 1792. Though not formally published until 1797, Grant's book was the acknowledged background of the Parliament's 1793 debate on missions. In 1812, Parliament ordered it published as a state paper as the best source of information on India. Grant's argument for mission and education were inseparably intertwined. In those days, legal walls separating church and state and education were not yet in place. His arguments triggered a movement that enabled India to become one of the world's leading centres for education. In fact, it's a very beautiful thing. Sometimes I travel to India, and the extent of commitment to education in that place is just astounding. The things that the students will do in order to better themselves because they know that education is so profoundly important. And I find it amusing, actually, when I see the conditions that many Indian students study under and contrast them with that which our Australian students endure or have. I'm just astounded at how short-sighted sometimes our Australian students are. If they worked half as hard as the Indian students do, we would be a much cleverer people than we are. It's interesting to note, too, that Charles Grant's paper was a means for the government to improve its relationships with India. And the relationship between church and state is always a vexed one. And reading of Charles Grant reminds me of my own friend, Brian Grasby. Brian has a fantastic work involved in southern Sudan. And recently there was an Australian by the name of, from memory, Michael Hunt, who was taken captive by rebels in Sudan. And it transpired that the only one who knew anything about what was going on in Sudan was Brian, because he had been coming and going to Sudan so many times, and our Australian government looked to him or relied on him for information in terms of how to get Mr. Hunt free. And in fact, it was through Brian's assistance that he was freed, because Brian knew the people who were in authority in southern Sudan who could help. So both with Charles Grant and with my friend Brian Grasby, we find that missions work has been an aid to government. In Grant's case, an aid to government that gave a current picture as to what was happening in India. And in Brian's case, an aid that would allow the government to set free an Australian citizen. Christians who've made a difference. You're listening to Southern FM.